This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I think it's fair to say that North Korea has decided that it wants to stick its finger in the eye of the world. This is not an action North Korea has taken vis-a-vis the United States. This is an action that North Korea has taken vis-a-vis the world. The world stands united. North Korea stands isolated.
White House spokesman Ari Fleischer in a briefing on Friday answering questions about North Korea's decision to withdraw from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The North Korean announcement has been met with condemnation around the globe, and today North Korea has announced that it may lift its moratorium on testing ballistic missiles. Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And, Dan, North Korea have announced pulling out of the non-proliferation treaty. There could be missile tests. Do you detect any kind of strategy in these announcements?
Well, so what happened? North Korea now joins three other countries, India, Pakistan, and Israel, as non-signers of that historic treaty that tried to limit nuclear weapons to five countries, the U.S., Britain, Russia, France, and China. Mm-hmm. What this is a quite demonstrative act, like the announcement also today that the Yongbyon reactor, with the UN inspectors now gone, that reactor will be operable in a few weeks. That's to say that it will be capable of extracting plutonium for nuclear weapons. Doesn't necessarily mean that North Korea will proceed to make nuclear weapons. Means that North Korea can, and is saying, so you better watch your step. This is what you call nuclear diplomacy responding to American axis of evil diplomacy.
Let me ask about the meetings that have been going on in Santa Fe with the new governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson. He was an ambassador to the United Nations during the Clinton administration. I believe he knows at least one of the North Korean diplomats with whom he's been reading, with whom he's been meeting. And we should say Governor Richardson says, look, I'm not negotiating, I'm talking, I support the Bush administration's policy.
Right.
Why are the North Koreans sitting down with the governor of New Mexico?
Well, because the American position is that the U.S. will not negotiate with North Korea until it purges itself of all its nuclear ambitions. You remember, Scott, that in 1994, Jimmy Carter stepped in to broker an agreement between North Korea and the Clinton administration, and that resulted in freezing weapons development. Now, the Bush administration seems to be in a state of total internal confusion about how to deal with North Korea, and the North Koreans have some good memories of Bill Richardson. He was U.N. ambassador. He visited Pyongyang while he was in Congress. And so they're saying, listen, we'll talk to anybody who talks to us with any respect.
Did the 94 agreement freeze weapons development? Didn't apparently North Korea went ahead and developed weapons on their own?
It was to have frozen.
They
promised to. Apparently they didn't quite abide by it, yes.
Okay. At every stage, the Bush administration seems to be stepping back and softening from its rhetoric, and then the North Korean government seems to come up with, to invoke Mr. Fleischer's phrase, a way of poking their fingers in somebody's eye. What do you read in that?
Well, I'll tell you, this may sound as though I'm speaking as an agent of Pyongyang, but look, here's North Korea, wanted a little respect and a lot of aid, starting with food and fuel oil and a peaceful nuclear power reactor to get some electricity. That was a deal they thought they had made with the Clinton administration. But then President Bush came into office, suspended relations with North Korea, included them in his axis of evil, most recently tells Bob Woodward that he loathes Kim Jong-il. And so Kim probably believes that the Americans now are out to crush the axis of evil. At first they'll do Iraq, and that then it will be next. And they've decided to have their own preemption strategy.
Which brings us to talk this week about Iraq, because UN's weapons inspectors Hans Blix and Mohammed El Baradei briefed the Security Council on the progress of inspections there.
Yeah.
And Mr. Blix said he's still skeptical of the weapons declaration made by the Iraqis, but at the same time he says, after 7 weeks, they have found no proof of a covert weapons program. Are we beginning to confront this question? The Iraqis have had a number of years to hide their weaponry and development, if that's what they're disposed to do. Was it naive to ever believe that a smoking gun could be discovered?
Well, probably. It was never really in the cards that you would find weapons or the making of weapons without some kind of assistance. And there were two kinds of assistance needed. In the first place, intelligence information from the United States and from other countries. If there is intelligence information, that tells you where things are or where to look. And then secondly, They needed to interview Iraqi scientists and technicians under conditions where they might feel safe in talking, preferably in Cyprus or somewhere. But that hasn't yet happened. Mm-hmm. And so both the two ways to find these things have not produced anything, at least so far. And considering the risk to themselves and to the family, I'm not quite sure why anybody ever thought that these technicians would go and say, let me tell you where they really have it.
Mm-hmm. Just in the last few days, we have been reading reports in various places that U.S. officials are no longer referring to January 27th. This is the date on which Mr. Blix is supposed to make his report to the Security Council as a deadline, a tripwire, in a sense, for U.S. and British action.
That's right. Well, in the first place, here are the British. Here is Tony Blair under terrific pressure from the Labour Party not to support the United States in going into Iraq in the absence of a real smoking weapon. Mm-hmm. And all the other allies, Turkey is saying, we'll help you, but maybe. But everyone now says, listen, don't take January 27th as a final date. And the United States is beginning to believe it may not be able to take January 27th as a final date, and so this thing may just roll on some.
White House presented its economic growth plan this week, and it surprised some that President Bush has decided to actually increase his proposed tax cut from $300 billion over 10 years to $674 billion at a time, obviously, in which new military action is contemplated. What do you read into his change?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think that after the risk he took on the November elections, which paid off big time for the president, that he's been emboldened to take a few more big risks. So he's preparing to take a risk of military action against Iraq, maybe, and at home, this so-called stimulus package, which they now call a growth package, that they hope will start a sluggish economy. Is it too big? Vice President Cheney says, trust him, it will not lead to huge deficits, will not shortchange the states, will not give too much to the wealthy. But a lot of people don't quite accept that. The first indications are that he may not be able to count on his majority in both chambers of Congress. At least five Republican senators, starting with Chairman Grassley of the Finance Committee, are expressing serious misgivings about his proposed tax cut.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the kind of boldness that you mention in other areas that the administration's undertaking, legislative areas?
Well, the question, what kind of boldness he would show after the Trent Lott affair. And so, to the surprise of some, he resubmitted the nominations to appeals courts of Judges Pickering and Owens. That was a surprise to some. The administration now appears to be having some difficulty making up its mind on whether it wants to weigh in on the University of Michigan affirmative action case before the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Remains to be seen whether the president will decide to hold back on prescription drug benefits and hold out for a big overhaul of Medicare. There are issues there where he appears to be wondering whether he wants to go for broke or not.
Let me ask you this finally. Democratic minority leader now, Tom Daschle, announced this week that he's not going to be a candidate for president in 2004. The announcement came something of a surprise to staff members who, I gather, thought they were preparing for an announcement that he would run. Mr. Daschle says the process of deciding made him understand that the Senate is his passion.
Senate, right.
Is there, among skeptical journalists, is there any reason to doubt whatsoever that his explanation is as simple as he makes it?
Well, it's true. The staff thought when he was on his way to the press conference that he was going to announce that he was a candidate and were amazed when he announced that he was not a candidate. I'm going to do something which skeptical journalists don't often do. Mm-hmm. I want to say that in the absence of any other knowledge, I'll take him at his word.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.